We have an idea in Torah in general of Ein Muktam Me'uchar B'Torah. In many ways, it comes out strongest in these parshios that we're learning, we're going through in the calendar. We had it a few weeks ago in Parshas Yisro. The Gemara has a machlokas whether the story of Yisro giving advice to his son-in-law Moshe, whether that event of the advice took place before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, and it's written in the Torah before Matan Torah. The actual event of Yisro giving over this idea, you should have a structure of how we paskin shilas and how people should ask questions, and so we know how it's written chronologically, but some of the commentaries understand this to be an example of Ein Muktam Me'uchar B'Torah. The Torah is not telling us how things necessarily happened in a chronological sense, but the Torah is there to teach us lessons, to teach us messages, to teach us instructions for life, and not necessarily to teach us history. It may also teach us history, but that's not usually the primary goal of the Torah. It comes out even stronger in the last parshiot of Sefer Shemot, with a very ongoing debate. It's a large debate between Rashi and the Ramban. Where and when did Chet Egel happen? And when was the Tzivui, the commandment to build a Mishkan? If there would have been no Chet Egel, would there have been a Mishkan? And that seems to be a ranging debate. Some people are nodding their heads. If you're familiar with it, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm going to raise that as an opening comment, because we do read certain parshiot, at least according to some of these opinions, we read them out of chronological order. And we do have such a thing, that the Torah was written not necessarily to teach me how things unfolded in historical sense. There's examples from Bereshit also that we could look at. But it's there for a different purpose. But there seems to be something interesting and unique about the Megillah and the reading of the Megillah, where the halacha comes in and tells us that it has to be read in order, in chronological order. It has to be read in the order in which it unfolded. And if you don't read it in the way that it unfolded, then you weren't Yotze. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. So let's look at the Mishnah. Some of you may have studied Maseches Megillah before. This is the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the beginning of the Perek called Hakorei L'Mafreya, Hakorei S'Megillah L'Mafreya. And the Mishnah, I didn't bring the whole thing here, but in source number one, the Mishnah reads as follows. I want to focus on that first line. Hakorei S'Megillah L'Mafreya, Lo Yatza. So we'll see in a moment, the Gemara will give a little bit more of a definition. We'll see how some of the Rishonim and Achronim dealt with what does it actually mean to read the Megillah out of order. But you're not, we know from the Mishnah that you are not fulfilling this mitzvah if you read the Megillah out of order. Kara al peh, if you read it off by heart, if you read a targum, or if you read it in another language, and the reason you're reading in another language was not necessarily to help you. Lo yatzav al korino talelo azop, alas, there are some, you know, the Mishnah does bring this idea that you could read it in a foreign language, if that's what's understandable to a person, then you'd be yotze. But in general, we try to have a very specific structure around how we fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. So the Gemara opens up with the question of Menahani Mili. Where does it come from? Where in the Megillah do we get this idea that the Megillah has to be read in the sequence of events, chronological, historical order? So Amar Rava, the first attempt at answering this question, comes from Rava, and he brings a pasuk from, and it's here in source number two, and it's full, we'll look at it in a moment, Damar Kra Kichtavam V'Chizmanam, or Kichtavam V'Chizmanam, which means in the manner prescribed, okay, the English here, and at the proper time. Okay, b'chol shana v'shana, that's how the end of the pasuk reads. So the full reading of the pasuk is kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim, if you look in source number two, it's the first pasuk there. It's the end of the ninth parak of Megillat Esther. They accepted, and they undertook, aleihem, el zaram, el kol nevim aleihem, v'lo yavor liyoro sim et shnei yamim ha'ela. So the simple reading of the pasuk is that the Jews took upon themselves to do something to mark this event, and kichtavam v'chizmanam b'chol shana v'shana. So this is the cryptic kind of ambiguous wording, bless you, that the Megillah gives, and Rava and the Gemara comes and has a drasha on these two words, kichtavam chizmanam, mazmanam lemafreya lo, just as I'm speaking here about the date, the ordering of the dates of Purim. The 15th day can't come before the 14th day. It has to happen the 14th and the 15th. Av ktavam lemafreya. So too, the writing cannot be out of order. Okay, so ask the Gemara on Rava's approach. This way of understanding how we're meant to read the Megillah doesn't seem to be understood through the words ktiva. Ktiva is only speaking about the way it's written, not the way that it's meant to be read. So ask the Gemara, mi de kriya ktiva, hachasiya ktiva. We're not talking about the writing in our discussion. We're talking about the way that the Megillah is meant to be read. So we have to turn to a different source in the Megillah that could give us the background to this. And that, the Gemara says and concludes with this source, it's the very next pasuk, dichtiv liyot osim et shnei yamim. It's from the words "Vayamim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim." Itkash zchira le'asiya. There's a connection made between remembering and doing. Ma'asiya le'mafreya lo av zchira le'mafreya lo. Just as the asiya is going on the previous pasuk that of pasuk of Zayin, that the 2 days are meant to be observed in order. So too, the remembering, and the way that we remember it is through reading it, has to happen in the way that it unfolded chronologically. So what does it mean to do something out of order? What does it mean to actually read the Megillah out of order? There's different opinions in some of the commentaries. I just want to look at those for a moment. And then after we look at those, I want to share some hashkafot and some ideas that maybe we can learn from this halakha itself. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah, the Chanukah, in Perek Beis, the beginning, when he's speaking about the laws of Kriyas Megillah, and he writes, source number 3, Akoros Megillah Mafrei Lo Yatzov. What does this mean? You follow the Hebrew, the English. Karo v'shachach pasuk echad. So you're reading, and you skip a pasuk. Again, we're talking about the Baal Korah here. Karo v'shachach pasuk echad, v'karo pasuk sheni, and then you read another pasuk. Karo pasuk sheni lo, v'chazar v'karo pasuk sheshachach. So what you're essentially doing, according to the Rambam, is you're reading, you forgot a pasuk, you read the next pasuk, then you went back. You read the pasuk that you missed, right? And then you read another pasuk, and you just tried to keep going from there where you were. But essentially what you've done is you think you're going in order, but you've already skipped a pasuk. That doesn't work. And we'll see in a minute how strict this halacha is. You have to go back to the pasuk that you missed completely and then start reading from there. So the order, so according to the Rambam, the skipping process is you did 1, then you did 3, then you did 2, then you did 4. Right? You already read pasuk gimel. So according to the Rambam, you're done. The Aruch HaShulchan has a presentation in source number 4, which is slightly different. And he says, "Aval korei lemafrei lo yatzav megillah v'ainu shekara pasuk rishon v'dilega sheni v'kara shlishi." Sorry, I did the opposite. V'achakah kara sheni v'revi lo yatzav filu kara kula v'avikolok kara klal. Okay, the differences are very subtle. The point is, you skipped an entire pasuk, and you tried to fix it by, you know, maybe going back, but you're going back after you've already read something out of order. Even though you are technically reading all the psukim, right? You have fulfilled the obligation to read all the psukim. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah of reading the Megillah in order as the Gemara laid out in the Mishnah, which is problematic. And the Bir Halacha takes us even further. If you look in Source 5, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Simanim, he says, "V'nir detzarich nami lachzor levarech." It's like a hefsek, says the Bir Halacha. And you would have to actually go back and make a new bracha on the Kriyat Megillah. So it's so severe, the Halacha takes it to such an extent that we don't even allow a person to continue or start where they're from. You have to go all the way, make a new bracha, and begin the process again. Question.
Yeah, how is the HaShulchan, how does he differ to what the Rambam
says? So, my understanding of it is that the Rambam's case is where you you forgot a pasuk, you read the next pasuk, and then you went back and you read. So it's, the Rambam's order is you went 1, 3, 2, 3.
Two, four.
Does he say that?
He says 2, 3. He just says continue where you.
He said you just continued. So right, you went back. You repeated the one you missed, and then you repeated the one that you already said, which was the next one in sequence. Aruch HaShulchan is taking it almost another step, which is I already said the third pasuk, so I'm skipping over that one. I'm going to the next one. Either way, you're reading the next section, and in maybe in your mind you think you're doing it in order, but since you already skipped it at the beginning, you've missed the opportunity. Now here comes an interesting application of this principle. This is from Rav Zilberstein and Chashukei Chemet, one of the Achronim who's here in Eretz Yisrael. Ma'as is Shahai Beisaknes. He has a question as follows: Shabal Kore is a source 6. Bal Kore hiskel likor lifnei tzibor is a Megillah. The Bal Kore began reading the Megillah. Uchashigil achetzia loya bekochol lehamshich. He got to the middle, and he ran out of steam. Reading too fast, his voice, whatever. He wasn't able to continue reading. There was nobody there who was able to pick up where he left off. So they brought in a guy from outside a shul, a pinch hitter, and he comes in and he says, I'll pick up where the guy left off. What's the problem? He wasn't there for the first half of the Megillah. So he missed the first half of the Kriya. The Yisrael Likor, the Megillah, may also Malkam Shepasuk Arishon. When he stopped going, Mechol Hu Lotziam. Can the second guy come along and be Motzi, the Kehila, the Tzibor, the people in the room with the rest of the Megillah? He's just being Mashlim. He's filling in what they had missed as a group, but he himself had not heard the first half being read. He himself can't be motzi himself in half of a reading, right? He didn't start from the pasagal, paragal pasagal. This would be an application, perhaps, of the Mishnah's principle of reading it out of order. And if he can't fulfill himself, then possibly he can't be motzi and fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of other people listening in the room. Now the answer is that it's okay. And it's a whole long answer. I only brought a piece of it here. We can read it in a second. But the question itself, I think, is a really interesting concept to think about. The idea that we get to the point that even for the whole congregation, that they heard it from the beginning. Right? Everybody in the room was there from the first part of the story and they heard the whole thing in order. And all of a sudden, the Bal Kore is not able to finish. That would affect, even Dava Hava Mina, that would affect the possibility for everybody else to fulfill their mitzvah is an interesting application of this. To show us how far are we going with this idea of reading this in order. And that to me is really what I wanted to focus on. We'll just look at the two last concepts from Halacha on this, which is his answer, and then the last source, which should be source 7. Anyway, v'yesh l'chiach, I'm in the second half of the page there, t'yatsu yidei chovasa, me'hash shakasa shulchan aruch, shaliach tzibor sheta, very famous halacha in Hilchos Tfilah, that if a shaliach tzibor, a person who's leading the davening, he makes a mistake, ve'enu yodei lachzor limkomo, and he gets flustered, and it happens to people all the time, and you don't know where you're at, and you get lost, and Rosh Chodesh, and Alanisim, and all these things we add in, and you don't know which one to add, and which one not to add, or you skip a bracha, it happens. Yamod acher tachtav, the halach is, you're allowed to have another person step up and fill in where that person left off. Umaschil mitchilat bracha shetazeh, and he literally just, from the beginning of the bracha, but he doesn't have to start again from the beginning of the Shemona Esrei. He's using that kind of paradigm in halacha to apply it to this case. He says, "O kasav shulchan aruch." That's one point that he makes. Im shalach tzura tav bebrachas yotzer or v'tzarich lamar ocher tachtav im tam mikdusha ve'elach ein hasheni tzarich lachel b'makom shepasach. There's even certain halachot where he can actually take over exactly in the spot where he left off, as in the case of the yotzer or kasav abir halacha shavim lo yatzazeh sheni adai machatz is rishon shel bracha he tzarich acher kach lachsul levarich batzun tchilas bracha v'chasimasa. So in that case, he's actually starting in the middle and he's ending the bracha that was started by somebody else. And the svar that he comes out with is, the goal here is the tzibur. The goal here is the community. The goal here is the congregation. The goal here is the listeners. And because they were there from the beginning, that's what we focus on. And that's essentially the crux and the thrust of his whole tshuva. And he comes out to say that it would be okay, it would be fine, the Riyotze Kriyas Megillah. And what we're focused on is not so much whether the Baal Koreh was there or not, but the fact that the people in the room heard the Megillah being read from, you know, from A all the way to the end of the Megillah itself. And that's how he comes out the halacha. And there's one more halacha that I just wanted to mention, which you all notice when the Megillah is being read, but you may not have thought about it this way, but it is connected to this idea, which is that that we have to read the Megillah like an igeres, like a letter, right? And the way that we do that physically is we fold, right? We fold the Megillah in a certain way, and the Baal Koreh has to read it as if he's reading a letter. And the question is why? What's behind that? What's the idea behind it? And I believe it comes from the same source and the same root, which I want to share what I think is really behind this halacha. So let's try to answer that question in the next few sources. No, well, it's fine. We're going to be done.
Well, they're not going to
meet without us down there. No, go ahead. No, we'll go. Good. Thank you. I need a good deadline. So the idea that I want to bring out is that two things. Number one, and this is really just kind of a derech and limud halacha, which I think is very important and very dear to the way that I try to teach halacha. And we have to not just understand halacha of what to do, but we have to understand halacha of why we do it, and what's behind it, and what's the root of it, and what's the core of it, and what's behind Chazal, why were they sharing these perspectives. So many of the sources here are coming on the same point, which is that if you read the Megillah out of order, if you read the story out of order, then essentially you're going to say about the Megillah, you're going to be making an exclamation, even if you don't believe in it or realize it, that it's just another story. And that you don't necessarily appreciate the fact that every single line of the Megillah had to happen in the order that it unfolded in reality, and if it wouldn't have happened and unfolded in that order, then the miracle of Purim never would have happened. We have to read the Megillah in order because every single line of the story is important because it built. It built the next part of the story and the next part of the story. And, you know, the Gemara has a whole discussion, Mishnayos and Megillah, it's a similar kind of concept about what would be the minimum amount for you know, what was written in the Igeret Sheni. At the end of the Megillah talks about that, and the Gemara's in the Megillah, a whole discussion. What did Esther write? What was the main crux of the whole story? So you have different shitas in the Gemara, starting from Perek Aleph, starting from the story of Haman, starting from the story of Mordechai, or even from Perek Vav, right, Vahamelech, and there's different perspectives on this. But what does it come down to? It comes down to the question, especially the shita that we follow, that from the beginning, is that we look at this as you need to see the story, not just from the you know, when everything started to turn, because everything started to turn at every minute of the Megillah. At every minute of the Purim story, something was turning and something was changing. You can't put your finger on the moment in the Megillah where everything changed. And every person that's going to give you a shiur on the Megillah is going to say, well, this was the main point, and this was the main turning point, and that was the main turning point. They were all main turning points. And if you don't read them in order, so let's just look at one or two. We'll do the B'nai, we'll skip the source at the top, and just look at the B'nai Saschar and the one at the bottom. And then I'll wrap up with the beautiful Gemara in Sanhedrin. So B'nai Saschar writes in the middle source, on the third page, Pirshu lanu rabosenu, hakoris Megillah mafreya haine shemisaper v'kor rak ma'aseh. Reading it is a story that once happened, once upon a time. You're reading a story as if it's today, as if it's unfolding right now, and feeling that and trying to get yourself in a headspace where you're appreciating the events as they happened in order. That you hope that it would be something like we say in the Shasa Nisim Lavotena Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh, to believe that it could really be something that's repeating itself in terms of the awe, in terms of the power and the energy of that time. What does it say about a person who's reading it out of order? Again, on a deeper level, it's saying about that person that they don't see the Megillah as something that is this unfolding process that we can appreciate, even if it was a story that happened a very long time ago. And there's another perspective on it here, but I want to be mekatzer and finish with this Gemara on the back. There is a story with the Chidushei Harim that he was sitting at a tish with his chassidim, and you know, he said to his chassidim, he said, you'll read all the first chapters of the Megillah, and there's not a lot about Jewish people over there. There's a city, a non-Jewish city in Persia, and there's a guy, Achashverosh, and he has a wife, and he has all these ministers, and he has parties, and you don't read that much about the Jews until you get to Mordechai, and even there, it's not obvious that the story is really about that. And he kind of wondered, what is that all about? And he made the following insight, and this is really the siyum of this whole idea that I wanted to share. And that is that the ge'ulah, the redemption, doesn't happen when you expect it to happen. It's the Megillat Hester, as I called the title. The Megillah where it's when you least expected it. And that's really what this is about. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that speaks about the Ge'ula in this way. It's a beautiful Mamar Chazal. Here's the Gemara in the last source. Tanu Rabbanan. Ki Adin Hashem Amo. It's a drash on a specific pasuk. I have the English underneath. Shem's going to judge his people, atone for his servants, the end of Sefer Dvarim. He sees that their power is gone. Ki Reki Azaz Yad Ve'efes Atzur Vazuv. Ein Ben David Ba. Okay, this is the end of the Parachelek, where it's speaking about all the different opinions, when signs, when Mashiach is going to come. So this isn't the part I wanted to focus on, but it leads us into it. All kinds of different signs. The economy is going to start to drop, and there's going to be fewer people learning Torah. Some of these things we're seeing today, or we're seeing in every generation. This is a big one. People are going to give up hope on the Geula. Now, the Gemara leads us into the following one. If you skip down to under the first paragraph in English, there were many rabbis, and the Gemara has different rabbis who were trying to calculate based on different psukim and signs when Mashiach's going to come. And they had literal dates that have all passed in our history and time that they thought Mashiach was going to come. And Rabbi Zeira thought it was a really bad practice. He said, you can't do that. You can't try to figure it out. Some understood the reason you can't do it is because you're basically giving people false hope. Then what happens when Mashiach doesn't come on that year? You're going to say, oh, Mashiach didn't come. That means he must never be coming. So this was a tirade that some Rabbanim had against those who were trying to give dates and calculations and years for Mashiach. And here's the part, the last line in this Gemara. He said to them, don't delay his coming by calculating the end of days. He brings a brisa. Gimel bayin behesach adas. There are three things that are going to come when you least expect them to happen. And what are they? That's beautiful. HaMashiach, Mitzia, Ve'akrav. Mashiach, something that you lost, which is always true. You always find it in the least. When you least expect it, you just stumble upon it. And a scorpion. So thank God I've never experienced that. Maybe if you go on a teal somewhere in the south, you'll experience that. And look at the Marsha, and this whole close. Marsha on the Gemara. It says, Shlosha Bayim Be'asach Adas, Mashiach, Mitzia, Ve'akrav. It says, Klal Elu HaShlosha Be'inyan Zeh, Im zacha behesach adat shel Mashiach, yavolo Mashiach behesach adat shel Metzia, shesimcha v'tova yelo. What's the joy when you find a key that you're looking for? Or when you find your wallet or something that you lost? That joy, I mean, because it comes as such a shock, like you really weren't expecting it, you knew. Yeah. And then you find it. He says, that's for people who are waiting for Mashiach. Lo zacha yelo b'yada Mashiach esach adat neshich harakrav l'ra'alo. But for people, you know, the opposite, if we're in Zoche, then it's going to be like the scorpion experience that just jumps out of the ground, you know, and bites you. And that, to me, is so much of what the Purim story is about. I think this idea of Korlam Afreya has such a depth to it, because it takes us into the world of living our life, going through our routine, but always having somewhere that everything can change in a moment. Hopefully Latov, in our lives, hopefully always the Tov, as much as possible. And the idea that the Geula could just keheref ayin, things could spin, things could turn around, that's, to me, one of the great messages of Purim. It's that the whole story, every pasuk, every word, every part of the story has to be looked at in a certain way, because if you don't look at it in that way, you're going to miss. You're going to miss a detail. You're going to miss a moment that was a turning point. And the message of Chazal is every moment of the Megillah is a turning point. And I think by extension, every moment of our lives is a turning point. Every moment of what we go through, whether here in yeshiva or wherever we are, it's a moment of a turning point. And Bezrat Hashem, to take advantage of those turning points, even when you don't know that they're turning points, that's the challenge, but that's also the bracha of having the opportunity to be together, to be in such a place, and we should be zocha that the geula should come soon, very soon, maybe when we least expect it, and if it is when we least expect it, matov, Bezrat Hashem, geula shlema, meir v'yameinu, amen. Freilich and Purim to everybody. Have an amazing...